The Bible reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. It's Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Feel that. That's incredible. Well, we did warn you, this is an earthquake zone. I've been telling you all the way through the service. When Jesus rose from the dead, something ripped through time, eternity, ripped into time as we know it and made new life. When you read this passage that Dave's read, you read about this earthquake, it actually says there was a violent earthquake. In the original Greek, it says mega. I love that word, mega. We use it nowadays, you know, because if our football team wins, it was mega. Some of our young people use it. That's something that was fantastic. It was mega. Well, this was a mega seismos. Right? We use the word seismos, don't we? Because when there's an earthquake, it's measured by a seismograph. And they tell us whether it was 2.8 or 5.9 or worse, 8 or something on the Richter scale. And it's a seismograph. And a seismologist studies earthquakes. Well, this resurrection day, the first day of the week, 2,000 years ago, was a seismos mega, a great earthquake. And eternity ripped into time. It says that the tomb was there and the stone was rolled back, and this radiant being, it says an angel of the Lord came down, and he did that, and it said his appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. You know, God keeps breaking into time. When you read the Old Testament part of the Bible, you find the angel of the Lord appears, and it's kind of a very polite or a very reverent or careful way of saying it was God. For instance, in Judges chapter 6, some of you might read about the story of Joshua. And Joshua meets God, or God meets Joshua, and it was the angel of the Lord. You think, oh right, it's an angel. But then when Joshua has a conversation with him, it said the Lord said to Joshua. Another part of the Old Testament, where Abraham meets the angel of the Lord. And then as you read the story in the conversation, it's the Lord said. A guy called Manoah, who's the father of Samson, he meets with the angel of the Lord. And then he's frightened because he says, "We've seen the Lord." And you weren't supposed to be able to see the Lord, because if you did, you'd die. He was so holy, so powerful, so awesome, it would kill you. But he said, the angel of the Lord, and then he was frightened because we've seen the Lord. And here in the New Testament, on Resurrection Day, this violent mega earthquake breaks eternity into time. Jesus rises from the dead and the Lord is there. God is very present in the resurrection. You know, when you read the New Testament, you read the good news story, you find that God wants to do a mega earthquake in your life. That day, the world, time, history as we know it, was completely changed for eternity. But we read that God wants to break into your life and my life with a mega earthquake. This resurrection power that we read about is for you and for me. Ephesians chapter 1, 18. Paul is writing to about six different churches in what we know now, seven churches, sorry, in modern day Turkey. And he prays for them and he says this: I pray that you may know his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Wow. God wants to do a mega earthquake in you and in me. He wants to change you from a life that is a life that maybe doesn't know God, and make you alive to him through his resurrection power so that you can know God. That's the whole of the Easter story. Eternity quakes into time with resurrection life. But not only that, life kind of breaks death with life itself. I love this story of the guards. It says in verse 4, a simple verse, the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. There's a powerful contrast here, because in the chapter before, at the scene of the cross, Mark and Matthew and Luke record this powerful supernatural moment that when Jesus died, the sky went black. There was a big curtain in the temple in Jerusalem that the curtain separated people from the place where God was present, the Holy of Holies. And that ripped in two. But also you find that it says that at that moment the earth shook, rocks split, tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who died were raised to life. Wow. Another mega seismos, another great earthquake. And so in an earthquake at the cross, tombs break open, and holy people are resurrected. When the tomb opens, live people act as though they're dead. God breaks in. The alive who don't know God are dead. The dead who do know God are alive. John puts it like this in John chapter 7 when he's recording Jesus' words. He said, the spirit gives life and the flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Why? Because real life is not what we're living now if we don't know God. Our hearts are beating, our lungs are drawing air in and blood's coursing around our bodies, and you'll say, no, I'm alive really. But actually, real life is resurrection life. Real life is not what you're experiencing now. Real life is meant to be life lived in God, in Christ, through the power and through his resurrection. And if you don't know that, it's like you're one of these two soldiers. Resurrection life has happened and you're acting as though you're dead. But if you do know that, you're like one of these guys in the tomb. I wonder what it'd be like. You know, you are, dead as can be. And this earthquake, you don't feel the earthquake. You just kind of open your eyes and there's sunlight coming through and think, oh, what's that up there? What am I doing here? When I was a kid, I hated the Edgar Allan Poe story, The Fall of the House of Usher. I don't know if you know the story. Edgar Allan Poe was a terrific horror story writer, or a terrible horror story writer. He wrote terrible stories. And this lady died, and she could hear everything. But actually, she didn't die. She went into a catatonic trance. And she woke up in the grave. Sorry, I don't want to scare you this morning. I'm going to, aren't I? It's too late. And eventually, in the film of the story, they open this grave, and she's there, like, clawing at the tomb top, right? Now, that sounds really horrific, but imagine how horrible it was on that day. There you are, walking through the graveyard, wondering what's going on, and suddenly there's a tomb open there, and you go and look out, and there's somebody shouting, "Can you help me out? I can't move the stone any further than this." And you're like, you run. So the next person comes along and says, "Don't go away. Please let me out." I don't know what it was like. You can run away with your imagination, but then somebody knocks on your door. And you open the door, and there's great granddad in his grave clothes saying, "Have you got a suit you can lend me?" And you're like, "Great granddad, but you died. We buried you." And he says, "No, I'm one of the holy ones. I'm one of the ones who knows God. I'm one of the ones who resurrection life will course through me and give me eternity." And so you welcome great granddad in, and you take off his smelly bandages or whatever, and the spices, and you bath him, and you give him a new suit, and you are amazed because something powerful has happened. Eternity has ripped into time and changed history as we know it. And the alive in God who died are alive again, and the dead who don't know God, the alive who don't know God, are acting like dead men. Life breaks death with life. And then later on in the story, we find this incredible joy, and that Jesus' resurrection dawns into a joyous new day. Jesus knew he would go to the cross. He very clearly told the disciples and those around him that this was going to happen. Matthew chapter 20, "The Son of Man will be betrayed into the chief priests' hands and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death. But on the third day, he will rise again to life." And when Jesus was with the disciples before the cross, he spoke about his death with the story, the words of the Last Supper. "This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And then he told them of his resurrection life and said, "When I've risen from the dead, I'll go ahead of you into Galilee." Why would he go to Galilee? Why? Because he'd come from Galilee. And there was a prophecy back in Isaiah 9. It's actually a prophecy that we read normally at Christmas time. But this prophecy says about Galilee, it's honored among Gentiles. And he said that in this land, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Jesus, the light of the world, goes to Galilee, where he began his ministry, where he began proclaiming the light of the world, to fulfill this prophecy. Resurrection is not dark, it's not death, it's dawn, it's light, it's bright. So he says, "I'm going to Galilee." And we read that these women were filled with great joy. Ah, there it is again. A mega earthquake leads to mega joy. The word there, or the phrase there, is mega kara. Kara is a Greek word for joy. But mega joy. A great earthquake. Life that was death is brought to life again. And these ladies who see the risen Lord Jesus Christ can do nothing but fall at his feet and worship him. This is the resurrection story. For some people, they say, it's far too fanciful. You might be like Thomas, who was the realist. He wasn't just the doubter, he was the realist. Dead men don't breathe. They don't. Except when God rips into time with his eternity and turns the world upside down. Except when the risen Lord Jesus Christ steps into your life and you know he rose from the dead. So I guess a good question to ask you today would simply be this. Do you know this is true? Do you know this is real? Do you know, if you don't know, you may as well, sorry to say, you may be well, what, like one of the guards, just living as a dead man. Because you've not come to a place where the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is life itself, has broken into your life with his resurrection, which is the kiss of life. And maybe today's a time for you to be honest enough to say, I don't know that. Maybe humble enough to break through any stubbornness that's there in your life or any arrogance that makes you think you know better than God. Any pride that says, I can do this all by myself. Because we're like that, aren't we? We can be filled with pride and arrogance and stubbornness. And maybe this is a day when, like Thomas, who was humbled by the resurrection of his Lord and had to acknowledge willingly then, my Lord and my God. Maybe that's what you need to do today. Maybe to say, my life counts for nothing. Jesus is life. And maybe for you to receive him in all his love, in all his glory, in all his brilliant, bright resurrection dawn. Would you do that? Do you know, there's a passage in the Bible where a psalmist writes, and this is a very simple line. It says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. How terrible to die as a fool. For Thomas to say in his heart, there's no resurrections. How terrible if Thomas had never met Jesus. And maybe today's the day when you say, Jesus, I receive you. I humble myself before you and I receive you, my Lord and my God. And maybe it's the day for you to do that. To break beyond the grave. To break beyond your grave. And somehow to allow that to be broken open with resurrection life. Let's pray together. Lord, we know we don't fully understand it. But there's a million and one things that we don't understand in this world that we accept. We know we don't fully understand how it all happened, that you died and you rose again. But we know that you did. History records it as true. And our hearts experience your love poured out on us. That says Jesus rose from the dead gloriously, victoriously. And your love poured out into our lives said Jesus is alive. Thank you for your Spirit's presence that tells us this is true. Just in a few moments of quietness, maybe you're in the place where you kind of like the guards. Christ has come back to life, but you're the one that's dead. And if you're humble enough and honest and open enough to accept that, and to accept that there's a risen life that God wants to know because he wants to break into your time with his eternity, Will you pray this very, very simple prayer? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, break into my life with your resurrection life. Lord, for those of us who prayed that this morning, I pray for your Holy Spirit to bring resurrection joy. Just as these ladies were filled with mega joy, fill our lives this day with great joy in Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. Amen.